So we're going to be reading tonight from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, and after that we'll go to Romans 8, verses 28 to 30. Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we turn to chapter 8, reading from verse 28 to 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Amen. My friends, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you discover something truly wonderful and magnificent, then you want to look at it from as many angles as you possibly can. So, for example, if you go to an art gallery and you come across a stunning painting, you don't just give it a single glance and move on, do you? But you look at it from further away and from closer up. You look at the style and the brushwork and the skill of the artist. You look at the details, but you also look at the whole. Or if you would see a classic car in a car museum, you don't just stand in front of it, but you walk around and you take it in from every side. You look inside at the upholstery. You look under the bonnet at the motor. You admire every part of its construction and its design. Or if you would visit a grand old building like a castle or a cathedral, or even for that matter, a brand new house, you don't just stand at the entrance, do you? You go into every part, into every room. You take in every detail. You look at the architecture and the materials and the furnishings and all that make it what it is. For my friends, we all know that it's only as we take something in from every conceivable angle and perspective that we truly come to appreciate just how lovely and how stunning and how beautiful it really is. But isn't that exactly what we're seeking to do with this most wonderful and magnificent thing which we call salvation? For could there be anything more beautiful than the redemption and deliverance that we have been freely given by our almighty and gracious God? And so we cannot just look at it from one side, can we? We can't just look, for example, at forgiveness and then think that we've seen it all. We can't just look at predestination or faith or heaven. For salvation is all of these things, but it's also so much more. And so, as we have reached this topic in our Living Theology series, we want to pause and we want to consider it in as many different ways and from as many different angles as we possibly can. And so you might know that last week Reuben began this process by looking at election, at the fact that our loving Lord chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in future weeks, we're going to be looking at various other elements. But tonight, we're looking at that aspect of salvation which we refer to as calling, the call of the gospel. So what's that all about? Well, as I've just mentioned, this whole process was initiated way back in eternity past, when our God decided in his perfect wisdom and his perfect mercy that one day he would step in and save us. But calling now brings us into the present day, and to that point in time when this decision of God becomes reality in our own lives. Calling refers to our initial contact with the good news of Jesus and that moment when the Lord first impacts us and changes us. But to understand this properly, we need to realize that the Bible actually speaks about calling in two slightly different but yet connected ways. And to help us to get our heads around that, theologians sometimes refer to these on the one hand as the general call of the gospel, and on the other hand as the effective call of the gospel. And we're going to think about those tonight. So let's start with the general call of the gospel. And what this refers to is the outward proclamation of God's word that goes out into the whole world. This relates to the Great Commission, where Jesus told his followers that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's why he told them that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. My friends, God has a strong and heartfelt desire for his message of grace to reach every single person on this planet. And so in Romans chapter 1, the passage we read earlier, and you may like to keep that open in front of you, in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes these words in verse 5. He says, "Through him," that is Jesus, "we received grace and apostleship." Why? "To call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake." Paul speaks here of a general call of the gospel that goes to all the Gentiles, to all people. Now you might be wondering, how does this call go out to all people? Well, of course, our God can and does call people however he pleases. That's why a little later in Romans chapter 1, we're told, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." But yet the more usual and the more specific means that God uses is the preaching of the gospel by those who already believe. And so again in Romans, this time in chapter 10, it says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" Our God calls all people to himself through the human preaching of his message. But it's important to understand what this preaching really is. You see, we've come to understand this word as referring exclusively to a minister standing behind a lectern in a church service delivering a sermon, just as I'm doing right now. Every week, both here and in churches all over the globe, the gospel call goes out. And don't get me wrong, this is a significant and an important part of what this preaching is. But it's not the only part. You see, the word translated preach simply means to proclaim and to explain openly. And so the gospel can be preached by every Christian in a whole range of formal and informal settings. We have those opportunities at nursing homes and in schools and in hospitals, at rallies and gatherings and events like Carols on the Lawn. Overseas missionaries can find themselves preaching in contexts that we can't even imagine. But the gospel can also be preached in so many other ways. It can be proclaimed through books and articles, music and artwork, TV and radio, websites and podcasts. We can proclaim it in growth groups and growth partnerships, in youth ministries and children's ministries, and most of all, most importantly of all, the gospel can be proclaimed by every single one of us in our everyday conversations and interactions with our children and with our family and with our friends and with our neighbours and our workmates and all the people who God has placed in our lives. For the Lord has sent us to preach the word, to proclaim the good news, to play our part in bringing the call of the gospel into this world. But we should also ask, what exactly is this gospel call which we proclaim? Well, we have the whole Bible to explain that to us, but yet it can be helpful to distill it down into three parts. First of all, the gospel call involves a presentation of the Lord's truth and his way of salvation. It tells of the holy God who created this world and gave us life. It tells of the sin that we've committed against him and the fate that we deserve. It tells of the Savior Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross to rescue sinners like us and reconcile them back to the Lord. But secondly, the gospel call involves an invitation to come to Christ in repentance and faith. It's the call of Jesus in Mark chapter 1. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Or Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. But thirdly, the gospel call involves the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. For our God does not call people to something vague or uncertain, but to an assurance that if they humble themselves and trust in Jesus alone, then they will be restored into a right relationship with him and can be with him both now and forevermore. This is the general call of the gospel that goes out through our preaching and proclamation of God's word to all the people of this earth. But of course, we realize that just because this general call of the gospel goes out to everyone, that does not mean that everyone accepts it. For there are some, and in fact many, who hear the Lord's truth and way of salvation, who hear the invitation to come to Jesus in repentance and faith, who hear the glorious promise of forgiveness and life everlasting, but yet they reject it. As Jesus himself put it in his conclusion to the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew 22, he said, "For many are invited," and it literally says, "many are called, but few are chosen." And so in this sense, the general call of the gospel isn't always an element of salvation, for there are many who hear it but yet are not saved. But that's why we also need to consider the second way in which the Bible speaks to us about calling. As I mentioned earlier, this is what's referred to as the effective call of the gospel. So what do we mean by that? Well, the effective call of the gospel is what happens when that glorious good news of Jesus is not rejected, but it is accepted. For there are those who hear this wonderful message and who believe it, and who are transformed by it. There are those who, when they hear this message, actually have their ears opened to receive it. My friends, there are times, and many times, when God takes that general call and he makes it effective in the hearts of women and men. And that's why there are times when our Bible speaks of calling not only as something general that goes out to all, but as something very specific that applies to the elect, to those to whom it actually saves. And so if we return again to Romans chapter 1, we saw a moment ago how in verse 5, Paul says his task was to call all the Gentiles. But we know that not all the Gentiles heeded his call, but yet some did, didn't they? Including those who he was writing to in this church in Rome. And so in the very next verse, verse 6, Paul says, "And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." And then in verse 7 he adds, "To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people." And so what we see here is Paul moving from that general call to all people to the effective call that brought these particular people into relationship with the Lord. And we see this even more clearly in our second reading from Romans 8, and you may wish to turn across there now. Let me read again from verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28, Paul writes, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." And so here we see so clearly the sense in which effective calling is a vital element of our salvation. For those who love God, those who have been transformed by God, those who have been justified and glorified by God are in that situation because they have been called by God. So what does that really mean? Well, first of all, it means that we have heard the gospel message, the very same message that goes out to the whole world. We have heard it preached and proclaimed. We have heard the presentation of God's truth, the invitation to come to Christ, the promise of forgiveness and life. But it also means that unlike the whole world, we have actually received that message with joy and with faith. Consider what Paul says to believers in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, "But we ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." Do you see? These believers were saved, Paul says, because they were called through the gospel that he himself and his companions were preaching, through the teachings that they passed on by word of mouth or by letter. And it all began with someone sharing the good news. And I'm sure that many of us here tonight remember that happening in our own lives. We remember the gospel being passed on and taught to us by our parents or by our teachers or by our leaders. We remember certain conversations with friends or certain books that we read. We remember how the Lord used the human proclamation of the gospel to turn us back to himself. And can I just add that for some of us, we may remember this as a sudden process. We may remember a particular moment, a particular message, a particular presentation of the gospel that changed everything. But for others, that moment is more difficult to pinpoint because our acceptance of Jesus came over a long period and involved many conversations and many sermons and many events that slowly brought us to the Lord. But did you notice what else Paul says in this passage in Thessalonians? He says these Christians were saved through the calling of their gospel message by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And this is the key difference, isn't it? You see, my friends, when the gospel goes out, it in itself, it can't change anyone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them. But it's only God, by His Holy Spirit, who can make this call effective in our life, in our hearts. We can never receive it in and of ourselves, and neither can we convince anyone else to do so. It's only as God's Word and Spirit work together that the process of salvation begins. And praise the Lord that that's exactly what He does. And He does it in our own lives. There are many other passages where this is explained as well. Think of Acts chapter 2. It says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Or we can think of 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Or 2 Peter chapter 1, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. How glorious it is that the God who chose us before the creation of the world has also stepped into history and called us to Himself. How glorious that through the human proclamation of the gospel, He has revealed His salvation and His grace. How glorious that by the powerful intervention of His Holy Spirit, He has compelled us to listen and to respond. And you know, this glorious truth is also reflected in our confessions. For example, the canons of Dort speak about how there are many who are called, but who don't respond. And then it says this. It says, the fact that others who are called through the ministry of the gospel do come and are brought to conversion must not be credited to man. No, it must be credited to God. Just as from eternity He chose His own in Christ, so within time He effectively calls them, grants them faith and repentance, and having rescued them from the dominion of darkness, brings them into the kingdom of His Son. And we also read about it in the Westminster Confession. All those whom God hath predestinated unto life, and only those, He is pleased in His appointed and accepted time effectually to call by His Word and Spirit out of that state of sin and death to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. So, my friends, tonight we've had the opportunity to look at God's work in our lives from another angle, from the perspective of calling. And I truly hope that you can see how this adds to this beautiful picture of salvation. But how should we respond to this message today? Well, perhaps you're here tonight, but you've never responded to the gospel. Maybe you're new here and never really thought about it. Maybe you're only young and just now starting to realize that you need to own this for yourself. Maybe you've heard it all before, but yet you've never really believed. My friends, There truly is a God who made us and who holds our lives and our destiny in his hands. And we truly have rebelled against him by our own selfishness, but he sent Jesus to suffer and die in our place so that we can be washed clean and restored in his sight. And so I want to call you tonight. And through me, God himself is calling you to confess your sin, to put all your trust in Jesus Christ, because the Lord does promise that when you do, he will forgive all your sins and he will give you every spiritual blessing in him. And trust me, there is nothing you need more than to be restored to the Lord your God. Please listen to the call and ask him to make it effective in your heart. But for many of us here, we have already heard, and we have already understood, and we have responded to the gospel. We know that God has already applied it to our souls. Well, for us, surely this message tonight gives us great reason to give thanks and to rejoice. For the Lord in his mercy has opened our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the greatest gift that there ever could be. We could never have done it ourselves, but by his word and by his Holy Spirit, God has called us to be his very own. So let us praise God for his calling and for the fact that he continues to call people out of darkness into his glorious light. And weren't we reminded of that so clearly again in our service here this morning? So my friends, let's keep preaching and proclaiming this good news and praying that God will use it to call his people home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your salvation is such a beautiful thing. Lord, we know that even if we dwelt upon it for our whole lives, we would never come to fully appreciate how wonderful and how amazing and how beautiful it is. But Lord, we thank you that we've had this opportunity tonight to look at it from another angle, from the angle of calling. And Lord, we want to thank you that your gospel call continues to go out into this world. And Father, we thank you that you are pleased to use us to proclaim that gospel. And Lord, we pray, please strengthen us and help us to do that as we should. And Lord, help us to remember that even as we do, the results are not up to us. For Lord, we could never save anyone. Lord, we cannot even save ourselves. But only you can do that through the powerful work of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that we can see with our own eyes the work of your Spirit in people even today. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, may it give us courage and confidence to continue to proclaim your word and to know that you will use it, for your word never returns to you empty. Father God, we pray for anyone here who has not yet heard and received the call of the gospel. Lord, we pray that you would work by your Holy Spirit, even tonight, to call them back to yourself. And Lord, for us who have come home, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for saving us and calling us to be your children. Lord, we bring our prayers before you in Jesus' name. Amen.